So if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. We do love you, Lord Father God. We give you honor and praise, God. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord God, and for your graciousness, Lord Father God, to see fit, Lord God, to speak with us and to deal with us. Lord, you spoke to my heart and spoke this word to my heart, so I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would just let it go forth with power and with free course. I ask you, Lord Father God, that you'd allow me the privilege to stand beneath the flow of the anointing, Lord God, that the word would go forth with that power, Lord God, and the strength, Lord God, that it needs, and that anointing. And I pray for that tonight in Jesus' name. Give you honor and praise for everything that you've done, Lord God, and Lord God, what you're going to do tonight. In Christ's name, amen. I have a title for this message, and I titled it Mercy, Love, and Forgiveness. Mercy, Love, and Forgiveness. Now, somebody told me that when I told them the title of this message, she says, well, yeah, you've preached that before. Well, if I have, I wrote it in a different fashion, and I put hallelujah and amen and glory in different spots. So it'll be completely fresh. It's, you know, if you've ever been behind the pulpit and you've ministered for any amount of time, that you know, there's a lot of repetition in the Bible, and it's just sometimes difficult to bring out a brand new fresh jar of a sermon, but just let the Lord just deliver it in a different way. And let your ears, let the Spirit of God deal with the hearts of the church tonight and the people of God tonight, that you might be able to be strengthened. I'm going to do what Brother Joe said that he used to ask preachers to do to him. He said he would go to the evangelist, and I believe it was Brother Joe. You'll have to forgive me if it's not, but I believe it was him. He said that I want you to saw off the branch that I'm standing on, and once that branch starts to break, I can reach up to the upper branch and pull myself up just a little bit higher and a little bit closer and a little bit touch God a little bit easier. So that's what I'm trying to endeavor tonight, is to saw off the branch that you're sitting on, because sometimes we get on a branch and we get all nestled down there and we'll sit there for a while and we'll get complacent and stay right there. Just stay right there. But God needs to take a nice tree saw and get on the inside of that branch, and you're on the outside of that branch, and begin to saw off that branch. And when that branch breaks down, then you'll start climbing. You'll get up out of that place that you're in. We all get to that point and place of all of our walks. We all do it. And I'm maybe it's just me, and you're all looking at me like it's just you, Brother Cliff. But I'm sorry, I think it's all of us, that we'll get to a place where that we're comfortable and everything's all good, you know, because, you know, we feel like that everything's is operating the way that it should. But God says, I wanted to get you out of that comfort zone just a little bit more. How much do you love getting out of your comfort zone? Now, tonight, I apologize, Brother Dave, that I wasn't here for prayer meeting. I took my wife, and we got our car dropped off and got things done, and it was a little late, and I finished up my sermon, and we got home, and I fell asleep on the couch. That was it for me, and I got comfortable. Oh, Lord. And then her phone starts going off, and that sawed off the branch that I was sitting on. But God's mercy, thank God for his mercy. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I remember the evening in time when that God poured down his mercy on me. Thank you, Lord. I remember when I reached towards heaven, Brother Gary, and I began to call out to God. And I don't remember exactly what all I prayed in, but I do know that I repented of the lifestyle that I was living, which, you know, it wasn't a horrible lifestyle, brother. I worked every day. I got to work and mostly on time, and I wasn't running around, and I wasn't drinking or anything, you know, but I was lost. I was lost, and God saved me. God saved me. He done a great work that night and that evening. He didn't have to, but he did it. You know, he reached down, and I was a TV-aholic. That was my worst vice. I think, well, yeah, maybe there's a couple more in there, but we'll just not go there. But TV was it, because I would escape through that. That was my escape. My mom would be talking to me, and if you ever met my mom, I love my mom. She's a good girl. But boy, that woman can talk. Brother Gary has met her, and she'll talk to you even if you're not in the room. And she'll walk down the basement while she's doing something, doing laundry, and talking to me. And she'll get down to the bottom of the stairs, and she'll come back up, and she says, "Have you been listening to me? Huh? You were talking?" But that's was my escape, was my television. I stuck my head in there and plugged into that, and that was it. And if anyone is familiar with what, the 700 Club, I remember watching one of their programs, and I was sitting there in the living room, and they had a guy on there. The reason why I kind of really tuned in was because they had this demonic worshiper at one time, but he got saved, and he got born again, and he got pulled out of that place in life, and he became a saint of God, and he was really pressing forward to try to pull the people out of that satanic church, you know, and I thought, like, wow, this is going to be interesting, and so I began to watch it, and you know, and I've told people here that if you've known me any length of time, you know that's this story, but I just have to tell you again, is that evening when I was watching that. I thought, you know, they got that telephone number right there, and they're talking about people that get mixed up with heavy metal music, and once they get mixed in with heavy metal music, you know, it kind of draws them in over to that side of life and the dark side of life. My nephew was playing in a heavy metal band. There was something wrong with their amplifiers, brother, because I couldn't understand anything that was coming out of it. It was just noise. And I walked into one of his little concerts that they had, and the guy taking tickets had a mohawk that stood this tall. And I thought, like, my Lord. All right. That's not exaggeration. This young man had, Brother Dave, I have no idea to this day how that man got his hair to stand like that. And I just had to go over for a sidebar. And they told me eggs. So if you girls want your hair to stand up, get you a dozen of eggs, and you can pull up a mohawk that will scare your husband butt out of his wits when you walk in the door, and he sees that, he's like, oh, it'll do it. Because I looked at that young man, and I'm like, wow. But as I heard that music that just came over the loudspeakers, you know, and then I thought, you know what? I'm going to call that number. And it's 1-800-GET-SAVED. No, it was just, you know, 1-800 number. So I called him. And as I called him, the fellow, you know, I explained to him exactly what was going on with my nephews. And I needed you to pray for my nephews. They're in trouble, and they need God. And they need, you know, he plays in a heavy metal music band and blah, blah, blah. But the fellow says, well, let me pray for you first. I don't need any prayer. I'm okay. I'm good. He said, no, let me pray for you first. Then we'll pray for them. How about that? You know, so I got to kind of go for this and go for that. You know, I had to go through that portion of, and just so, okay, go ahead. And he prays. I don't remember what he prayed. Then he prayed for my nephews and thank you, Lord. He prayed for my nephew and the oldest one. That was the one that was in the rock band. And I thought, you know what? That guy just has no idea what he's talking about. You know, I said that to myself. So, you know, Brother Ernie, he was probably been in the ministry and dealing with people for years. And here I think that, you know, I had the audacity to say that. So, Brother Dan, I went into my bedroom and I went and found my Bible. I bought it. You want to know how old it is, Brother Gary? You know Red's Transmission? There was a house that used to sit next door to that. And it used to be a bookstore in the first floor. There was a Bible bookstore in that house. And I bought a brand new King James Bible in a gold box. Man, it was awesome. And I went in there and I dug it out of my junk drawer. It was still in the new box, and I you know, everybody, you all have junk drawers when you're a young guy, and there was the socks, and this is the junk over here, you know. So I dug through there and I found the box, and I pulled open the Bible and I began to read in Revelation, and it began to tell me how that the former things of this life would pass away. I believe it was Revelation chapter 22. Don't hold me to that now. But I read that, and I seen how that he said that God would wipe away the tears from our eyes, and that everything that in this life would just be passed away. And Brother Dan, that's what I wanted. I wanted a brand new start. And when I read these words, I read about five verses, and as I read these words, and they just kind of leaped off of that page to me, and they begin to do something in my life, and then all of a sudden I broke down and I begin to weep. And I begin to weep profusely, and my heart just broke. And as I kind of just smote my chest, and I raised my hand toward heaven, my mom stood in the dining room, and about 10 feet away from me. She didn't want to interrupt anything, but the Holy Ghost came down, the Spirit of God came down, and he touched me, and with His mercy, He showed me that night. He saved me. He saved me, all to wit. He got a hold of me, Brother Dan, and when he did save me, man, he saved me for completely. And I've been saved for almost 30 years now. And my nephew is saved, born again, delivered from alcohol, delivered from drugs, married to a lady that she keeps him straight. Wow, glory to God. He talks on Facebook. He says, "Isn't she so pretty?" And boy, she just pulls him. And he needs a woman like that to help him. But the Spirit of God came down. It took some years. It took some years while that guy prayed for me and prayed for him years and years ago. But God's mercy was shed abroad on me and upon my nephew, and I'm going to see it happen, and it's happened back there. You see that big-headed boy sitting back there? That's my mean brother. That's my mean little brother. That boy was mean as a snake, and that fellow would go, and he would fight you, and you didn't want to fight with him. No, no. I thought I could whoop him when he got about 8, 9 years old. He was strong as a horse then. I learned not to mess with him. But God showed his mercy to me that evening. And once he showed that mercy to me, he saved me. And there was no turning back. I had no thought, not even a thought of going back to that lifestyle that I used to live in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. The Bible tells us that the mercy of God never ends. Never ends. In Psalms, it tells us that the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting, from here to there to eternity. Thank you, Jesus. But we hear Brother Joel quote this scripture quite often, and it says, "But the mercy of God is," let me read this out loud, "but the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children." Thank you, Jesus. And God is just full of mercy. Full of mercy. You know, he'll kind of scold his children, and he'll put his finger down on the world too. One of these days, he's going to cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But God is full of mercy. In Joel, it says this in chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "To rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and it repenteth him of the evil." He said that it tells me in the Bible that God is not willing that anybody should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. That's where his mercy is at. That's how his mercy is for us. We realize I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I have to speak to the church tonight. I have to encourage you tonight. I have to lift you up. And then you can take this word that I give you tonight and you put it in your heart. And as you put it in your heart, then you take it out with you and you carry it around like a treasure. And you pull that basket out and you begin to hand it out to other people and let them know and understand that, hey, God's mercy is still there. There's people that you're going to speak to that will tell you that, God, that I've been too bad. I've been too wrong. I've done too many bad things in my life for God ever to forgive me. And you're going to have to look them in the face and look at them and tell them that God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. God will forgive. God can forgive. You can't tell God that he cannot forgive, because he can. He can and he will. Thank God for your mercy tonight. Thank God for your goodness. And God's mercy keeps us. God's mercy keeps us. We have to remember this as the saints of God, because, you know, we will mess up in our walk. It's just a given, because that's us. We're human, and we will have to remember that we will mess up. But I need you to remember this one thing, is to quickly get it under the blood. Quickly get it under the blood. Don't let it just sit there and fester. Don't let it just sit there and get infected and infect your soul. Get that thing under the blood with you and God and get it right as soon as possible. As my wife looked at me today about the potatoes, and I looked back at her, because she's just a little bit taller than me. That's how good looking I am, as I got a bigger woman. Hey, good. My Mexican buddy, Carlos. Man, Cliff, you got you a big woman. I said, well, don't let her hear you say it. No, man, she's bigger than you. Thanks a lot, Carlos. But as I looked at my wife and she looked at me, and I said the famous words that, but I meant it. I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry. Sorry. In the human form, she looked at me and she said, that's all right, dear. I'm sorry too. Put her arms around me. Give me a kiss. We went and had supper. And those potatoes were so good. They were better than the other ones. Yes, they were. But God's mercy keeps us. Thank you, Lord. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Yes. God could just hit the smite button anytime he wants. Brother Joe was living over on Bildall, and he had the whole backyard. He didn't have no backyard to mow, because it was all concrete and asphalt, because he was a mechanic. It had garages and put his pastor's office out there and on one side, and there was one garage there, and Sister Pat had her quilt shop on one side, and Brother Joe was working on cars in the garage. But one day, Brother Joe was standing out on his patio, and there was a big black ant running across it there. And I know that you all been told about this before, and Brother Joe himself probably told you. And he reached out with his big hillbilly foot and stuck it out there and smashed that ant and swiped him back and killed him dead right there. And God spoke to him in his heart, and it kind of quickened him and says, I could do that with you right at this moment. But it's by God's mercies that we are not consumed, and because of his compassions fail not. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. And they are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. And you know, by his word, he is bound to his word. It's that testament that he has given us. He's bound to his word. And what he has said to you in the Bible and written down in his Bible is a contract to us. And he can't break that contract and that contract and that covenant. We are humans, and we'll break our covenant and our contract with God just as many times as we want to. But God can't do that, and he won't do that. He will not break his covenant that he's made to you. And he's bound by his word. And he said that my mercy and my faithfulness is new every day. And I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to let you understand and know that my mercy will not fail. That's the problem with us as humans. The things in this world that fail us every day. But you have to remember this one thing, that we serve a God that cannot fail and that will not fail. And he is bound to his word, and he's going to keep that word. And as I said to you tonight, God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. But the last portion of that scripture, as we have said again, once again, but I want to tell you this again, it says, great is thy faithfulness. You are faithful to us, God. You are faithful to us, God. And you keep us every day. And as God has been merciful to us, so we also must show mercy to others. I can't remember really exactly where I've seen or heard it. I think I've seen it on a movie or something, because, you know, I told you I was a TV-aholic. I'm reformed now. Confess that. But I remember seeing on this show, it said that you know, they were talking about people forgiving one another, you know, and having mercy on each other. And they said, well, even God forgives and even God has mercy. He said, well, honey, people aren't very godlike. I need you to know and understand, we need to try to be as much like God as possible. There's this thing that I heard a preacher talking about one day. He said that, you know, we go through situations and God tries us and puts us through the fiery trials, and as gold is tried, they begin to draw off the dross and the impurities off of the gold, and they keep doing that and to the point and place where that gold is so pure that they look over into that pot and they can see their reflection. Let's get the impurities drawn out. Let God get us through what he's going to do with us and draw off those impurities to the point and place where that he sees us in that molten pot of gold. Once he cleans it out and gets the impurities out, he looks down inside of that gold, which is us, and sees his reflection in us. And that our reflection would be him and we would be one. And as God has been merciful, as I said, to us, we also must show mercy to one another. Proverbs says this in chapter 3, and verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Be merciful. Be merciful. You know, you look at people, have you ever heard this? I'll never forgive you. I'll never forgive you for that. I can't even look at you. I mess with my wife. I tell her that. I tell her, I'm so angry. I can't look at you right now. But have mercy in your heart. Look at that one that you've had trouble with, you've had problems with, and it's not your fault. You are in the right. You were in the right. Yes, sir. You were completely in the right. But look at that one when you see them and say, well, I remember what God did for me, but oh, man, that guy made me so mad I'm about ready to blow up. But you ever did this? You ever did it? Huh, brother? Brother Dave, have you ever done this? You know, you come up to somebody and say, hey, man, And you're thinking in your mind, you're remembering those things that went on. So I'm sorry. Let's just get things behind us and let it go. Let us just let it go and do away with that and let that mercy of God pour out of your heart. And you truly, honestly, not remembering things, just let go of it and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Just throw it away, because that's how God's mercy does for us and what it does for us. What if God remembered everything that we did? How would you like that? You know, he'd pull up a phone book that's this thick on me. Remember that one? And then if that was true, then God truly would not be merciful. So God looks at us and tells us, I want you to be just like me. Grow up and be like your daddy. Yeah. Grow up and be like your father. Be just like me. Act like me. Talk like me. You know, that one right there, he's just like you. The big one, yeah. He's got a disposition like you got, Brother Gary. And I watch him, and I'm seeing him growing up, and I'm seeing things in him, and God's going to use you. God's going to use you, brother. You stay where you're at, and you walk like you're walking, and you listen to your mama and your daddy. Man, God's going to use you. I was thinking tonight how well trained that your boy is. And I was proud of him for you. That's because I'm his papa. my wife and I, we love each other so much. We got married twice, and he was my best man, and he gave away the bride. So that would mean.
I'm the father of the bride of my son's temple.
I am not even touching that. Thank you, Lord. Not even going there. But as God is merciful, so must we also be merciful. But Proverbs tells us this in chapter 11 and verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own soul. You see, the merciful man will let go of those things. Just let them go. Let him. People tell you, be like a duck. I don't want to get a duck bill, but they said, let the water roll off of your back like a duck. Just be merciful. God help me. God help me. Because I was raised up in a family that did not know how to let things go. They just held on to things. And my mom, my goodness, that poor girl, God rest her soul, she would hold on to things for years. Memories, you know. Let those things go. Don't let them eat you up, because that's all they're going to do is give you heartburns and ulcers. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but the cruel troubleth his own flesh. Solomon truly had wisdom, but when it come to women, he was a little messed up. But anyways, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Oh my. Help me, Lord, to be that merciful man. Help me, Lord. And all I can do is work on this guy. I can't do anything for you, y'all. All I can do is just preach it to you and give you the Word of God and let the Word of God just penetrate your hearts and let the Spirit of God deal with you and work with you. And that's all I can do. That's it. And then I got to let go. But I can work on this guy and work on the things that are in my life. And so that's the thing that I got to do and I have to do. And if I want to be successful in the things of God or in the ministry of God or to be able to do anything for God, I must. must be able to stand and to preach the word. And when I preach the word, I got to live it. I have to walk it. You got to practice what you preach. Man, oh man. And when I got to practice what I preach, Brother Gary, I don't like it. Because a lot of times I'll get behind the pulpit and I'll preach something and I'll preach about trials and I'll preach about overcoming and things like that. And then, you know, a thought will go past right over my head like a wave. Is it now? You're going to live it this week, aren't you? And sure enough, Brother Dan, it happens. I got to live what I and practice what I preached that Sunday night. Boy, if I could just preach something so the week would go well. But this week went really well, really well. I want to just tell you, if I could tell you right now, if I wasn't preaching, I'd tell you how big of a hero I was yesterday. So you're going to have to remind me later on to let me tell you how much of a hero I was. But we all know and understand how fast hero and zero comes up. Now I want to tell you about love, God's love. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us. See, God loved us enough to have mercy on us. But the love of God, we all know this scripture. We understand it and remember it. John chapter 3, verse 16. We know this scripture, don't we? By heart. We've been hearing it since we were little kids. For God so loved the world. You'll ask me why I'm reading this, because I'm not going to misquote this scripture right in front of everybody, because it's like doing math in front of a crowd. Nah, don't do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved me enough to make me a way, to change my life, so that I might have that gap that was bridged between me and God. He gave me a way. He gave me a way. He made a way for me. And Jesus made that way for me. He hung on the cross and despised the shame. But for the joy that was set in front of him, he saw me many years on, and he saw me in a godly vision, saying, I'm going to save all of those. Even though that little short Gentile infidel, I'm going to save him too. And those that are hating me and spitting on me and calling me names and looking at me like that I got three heads, I'm going to save them too if they'll receive me. That's how great God's mercy and his love is. He looked at his enemies that swore him death and swore death and put him to death, and those that nailed him on the cross, those that dropped him, that cross in a hole. He says, I'm going to save them too. Every one of them, if they'll just look up to me, I will save them. I will save them from themselves. I'll save them from this world. I'll save them from their sin, and I'll save them from the wrath of my Father. Oh, thank God for that. I remember some young man on the street one night, and I said, you know, I got to talking to him, struck up a conversation, and he looked at, and I talked, asked him if he got was saved or not. You can't talk to worldly people like that, because they don't understand that kind of jargon, because they haven't been in church or anything. And he said, I didn't know I needed any saving from anything. And I was kind of standing there with nothing to say. And I didn't know what to say, Sister Frieda. But God, just in his mercy and his love and his infinite wisdom, he guided me in the scriptures one day, and it was just a few days afterwards, and he said that we're saved from God's wrath. And I thought to myself, well, where was that when I needed it? But I put it in my heart. I put it inside here, and I sewed it up so that I wouldn't lose it. I put it in there, Brother Dan, so that the next time that somebody ever says, I don't think that I need to be saved from anything. I'm not drowning. I'm not in trouble, but you are. You're drowning in your sin. You're drowning in the garbage of this world, and God's wrath is going to be poured out on you, and if you don't watch it. But God can save you from that. He can save you from that burning fire. He's that first responder that can run into the side of the inside of the burning building when everybody else is running out. He'll be the one that will run into that burning building and scoop you up, throw you over his shoulder, get his mask on your face, and carry you out of that flame and lay you down and get you out of the mess and get you out of the garbage that you was once in and out of the wrath of God that's being poured down on you. Do you know that the Bible tells us that we are the children of disobedience or the children of wrath? Of God's wrath? Oh my. Man. Psalms 63 and verse 3 reads this way: because of thy loving kindness, it is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. I have to confess something to you. That every time I read this scripture, I see Ron Mosley, because he was our song leader at Full Gospel Evangelistic Church, and he was one of my best buddies. That he was a 6'4" white man with an afro out to here, and boy, he and it was natural, and that fella could grow a wow. He would put some black man to shame. Sorry, you ain't got this, but you know I can pick mine, can you? But Brother Ron would sing this song and said that because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto your name. But that's not what the scripture says. Thus will I bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Can you remember back in the scripture with me? Can you walk back into the Garden of Eden? And when God walked down there and he stepped back down into the cool of the day and he called out a name, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Because Adam had stepped outside of the will of God. And because Adam had sinned, he'd fallen. Y'all better have mercy on that fella. Because I know that there's people saying, I'm just going to punch Adam right in the chin. No. God had a plan for us. Everything's okay. God worked it all out for us, and he knew what he was doing. Isn't that great that God's got that kind of wisdom? I'll work it all out. Where are you, Adam? Come here. I can just see it. In God's love, this father drew this man in, and he pulled him in, and he says, what happened, man? What happened? Oh, boy. Tell me what happened. Sit down for a minute. Let's just talk. Let's talk. And God began to speak with him. God began to speak to him. That's how God's love is. He'll sit down. And he's not this mean, horrible ogre that's just waiting to hit the smite button every time that you mess up or turn around or do anything. This God that we serve, this Father that we live for, this Father that loves us, he loves us enough to sit us down and to hold us and to look at us and put his hand on our shoulder and say, oh, my. I know. We're going to have to do something about this. You know what it feels like to have to whip your kids? And you know, they don't really understand that because it does hurt. It hurts you to hurt them. You know, and I never understood that. I've never had children. But I've put myself in your place. And I put myself in the place where that God looks at his children and he has to do something. He has to shake them up a little bit. He has to push him out into the wilderness. How much that broke God's heart is to shove the children of Israel, his chosen people, to shove them out right out in the cold. It's like when your kid just acts up so much that you can't do anything with them that you just got to kick him out of the house. It would have been a short, they look back at that boy. There must be some things going on at the Fuhrer house. But you see, God looked at the children of Israel and he says, I got to turn you out. I can't deal with you right now. So you're going to go on a walk for a while. I'll keep you for the clothes and shoes, but you're going to walk for a while. They murmured and they complained. And then God says, oh my, what do I do? And then the serpents come. And they begin to attack. And how it broke God's heart to look at him is, oh, I can feel their pain. God says, I can feel your pain. And so much the soul that he felt their pain is that he give them a way out of that predicament that they was in. And God said, oh, make a brazen serpent quickly. Get it done. Get it stood up. And anybody that will look up on that brazen serpent will be saved. And there were some folks that were so bullish and hard-headed that they wouldn't even look on that. They wouldn't even look there to save their own lives. And the thing about it is today is that there's a lot of people that will not even look to God to save their own souls today. Doesn't it break your heart? You know that because you know why? Because you got the Spirit of God in you and His love and His mercy presides and resides within you. God changes our minds and our thought pattern and our hearts and the way that we live and the way that we do and the way that we see things. Why does a man or a woman stand up and just cry for lost souls? Because they got the Spirit of God within them and they know and understand how lost that those souls are and where they're headed to. Every one of them going to hell and got a shovel in one hand and a pickaxe in the other. And say, God, let me help you out. I will make my way down there no matter what. But I thank God. I thank God that He talked to me one day. And Jeremiah says this, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Wow. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And brought you in. And again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel, and thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabarets, and thou shalt go forth in dances and to make merry and rejoice. You know, it's just like us, we get saved, we're torn down to the bottom, and we're just an abandoned building. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moves in. And He restores you. And after He restores you, then you're brand new. Then you're able to shout again and sing the songs of Zion and to rejoice unto God and to thank God for what He has done for you, my. And then you know why we all want to get to see other people get saved is because we can't stand it because, glory to God. But it's because what God has done for y'all, for us, we want Him to do it for everybody. But we can't get everybody to understand that. I didn't understand that. Somebody looked at me right in the face, Brother Dave. They looked at me. I was at work. I was nailing on some base in the bathroom of a small ranch house that we were building out in Byron. And this fellow came to work with us. His name was Harold. And I used to go to church with him at Pelly Road Baptist Church. I'm so sorry. I was a Baptist. Yes, I was. I was even baptized there. Jerry Hall did it. That preacher on the radio, Jerry Hall. He used to be my pastor. But I left the church, and it's been for a long time, you know, and I've been out of church. And when Harold was around, my Uncle Jim was always like super Christian. When he wasn't not so much. But he's always been a good man. But him and Harold get talking about the Lord and just saying, you know, and hallelujahs and stuff like that all around the houses we're working on and thank you, Jesuses, and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, they shut up. And I'm working, you know, working away. And they both stick their heads in that 28-inch door, and they both stick their big noggins inside that bathroom where I was working, and they're breathing on me and looking at me and says, hey, if you died today, where would you go, heaven or hell? I stopped working. I kind of laid my hammer down, and I raised up, and I was on my knees, you know, because I was putting the piece of base back where that nobody wants to be, right over and back behind the toilet while you're over the top of the porcelain little altar there. And they looked at me and asked me, said, where would you go, heaven or hell? And I had to look back at them, and I had to be honest with them. And I said, I will go to hell. I will go to hell. And it sounded so terrible to come out of my mouth out loud. But would I say, well, what must I do to be saved? No, I didn't. I stayed in my lost condition for a few years longer. I was blessed, and I was, I don't want to use the word lucky, but I was blessed that I was able to get to that altar of repentance. I was blessed that God had enough mercy and enough love to wait on me and to draw me in and to save me. Thank you, Jesus. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about forgiveness. God has that awesome forgiveness for us. And we thank God for that every day, because we, as the people of God, when God has forgiven us, He's changed us, made us new creatures in Christ, changed the way that we thought, changed our lifestyles and our life patterns, you know. And if you get forgiven and get saved by God, and God touches your life, your lifestyle better change. Or you better start asking yourself some questions. You better take some inside inventory. But God's forgiveness, this is what I got kind of mixed up on Psalms 103, and I told you that Brother Joe quotes this portion of Scripture. This is the portion of 103 that he, because, anyways, you guys can talk about me tomorrow. But Psalms 103, God's forgiveness, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth thy diseases." Yes, yes, sir. Heals your diseases, but he forgives what? Some of your iniquities. It's got that big three-letter word, all. All of your iniquities, all of your sins, everything, all of it. God doesn't do a half job. He's not a carpenter or a remodeler that'll come into a house and say, we'll just use old wood in here, and that wood's rotten over there, but we can kind of use that every other stud, and it'll be fine. He doesn't do that. Once he comes in, he tears the drywall off completely and everything, and he inspects and looks at the house and say, like, we're going to have to replace it all, folks. So tear it down to the foundation, build a brand new one up. And so, after God gets done building, you're brand new. You have been restored completely. God saves to the uttermost. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank God. And then in 1 John verse chapter 1 and verse 9, he says this: if we confess our sins, if we open our mouth and we talk to God and we use this thing that he's given us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Why would we go even think about going back after God has done all that work for us and cleaned us up from here to there, all to it? God places his righteousness in us. He takes our unrighteousness out and trades it. You know, that's not a very fair trade now, is it? I remember I used to slick kids sometimes, and they used to slick me when we used to trade stuff when we were kids. You know, I don't know if you all have been there, but I used to trade toys or trade lunches, you know, mostly lunches. I'll give you this Viennese sausage sandwich for that peanut butter and jelly. That's what most of the faces I got, like, what? You got to remember, my mama was a Southern lady, and if she could slice up some Viennese sausages and get you a sandwich put together, there you go, boy. Get out the door. And I walked to school every day. Now, it wasn't uphill. It was a flat surface. But every day, this boy walked to school. Mom, take me to school. No, you get yourself out there and get your feet moving and get to school. Right. But that wasn't a fair trade for God to give us his completely brand new righteousness and pour it into us and take out of us our dirty, nasty. You ever reach in a garbage can and get just something nasty, something, because you were trying to clean some papers out of the garbage can, and then all of a sudden your hand hits something in there and you don't know what it is, and it just, yeah. Mm. You wouldn't go there, would you? But if you, you know, like if you ever, like, I think that letter that we got, I got thrown away. And then, have you ever been in there trying to find a letter that you thrown in the garbage can and you thought? And you wind up finding it on the table? You see, God gets his hand in there and he gets his, oh, I'll take it anyways. Let's put the brand new stuff in. You're brand new now. Now walk righteously. Walk circumspectly. Walk honest. Walk godly before all men. And show yourself as an example. Be an example before this world, because this world does not have any examples, and we got to walk it, and we got to live it, and they have to see it in us. They have to see what God can do. They need to see and understand how powerful your God is, because they're in the same predicament and the same mess that you were in just yesterday. I remember the day, Brother Dan, after I got saved. My goodness, I'm telling you, I was like, whoa! I was so saved, it was sickening. And when I tell people about it, I'd cry. And I got to my boss's house. Ooh, I was floating on cloud 48. Yeah, it was way up there. God had me up. He held me up for a long time. That was the best high that I've ever had in my life. Thank you, Jesus. But I remember, Brother Dave, when I got to my boss's house, and we'd take off from there and go to whatever job that we were working on, and they had these two little small trucks, and I'd ride with the boss, you know, and his name was Bill. He had two first names. His first name was Bill, and his last name was Roy. So, whatever. But it's actually supposed to have been Bill Leroy, because they were French, from Canada. But my boss, he was working on the generator. We had this orange little junky generator, Brother Ernie, and you wouldn't even have liked it. You'd have probably used it for a boat anchor. But he was working on it, and he was trying to get it started and messing around with it, and he had I think he was trying to take the spark plug out, and he was turning a wrench, and something slipped off, and his knuckles cracked on something, and he goes, just a color, the full language came out of his mouth. And I you know what I had the audacity to do? I almost said, hey, thou shalt not speak like that in front of me. I almost told him that. Almost. I just about corrected him. I said, man, I don't even hear that garbage. I don't even hear that dirty language popping out of your mouth. But you know, I stopped myself just before I said something. And there's two good things that was about that. Is that you don't talk to your boss like that. And the other thing, I thought the thought that passed through my head, that was me yesterday. 24 hours earlier, that was my language. That was my mouth. But you see, God reached in and he pulled that language out of me, Brother Dan. What an honorable, great thing that God had done for me. He pulled that out of me. He set me free from that. My language changed overnight. That's just one of the advantages of getting saved when you're older. Because you've got yourself set in your ways, then you know what God's done for you. You see and understand how God has changed you and what that God has done for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Matthew says this, is for if let me back up for a second here because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we'll press on here. Just give me a moment, please. We also, as the people of God, need to forgive. Well, you have to forgive. We just have to. What does it tell us in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But 1 John says this in 1 John 1 and 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. And for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you're not willing to forgive somebody else, God's already put it in the stipulation that I'm going to hold back and I won't forgive you either. If you're not going to show the same forgiveness and godliness that I'm going to show you, I'm not going to forgive you. I'll remember it. I'll keep it in my heart. But if you want this, have you ever told your kids that? Has anybody ever told your kids that? Have you ever told Sister Tamara, you know, if you do this, we'll do that. If you clean your bedroom, we'll give you a dollar. Something like that. God looks at us. If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. Thank you, Lord. And now we'll be closing. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 4, it says this, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. If you bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, Father God, for your goodness tonight. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord God. We thank you for your forgiveness. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, God, for all that you've done for us. Father, help us to walk godly and uprightly before you tonight. And in Jesus' name we do pray. We ask you, Lord, Father God, help us to be the people of God that we need to be. And we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.